Good afternoon. I'd like to start off by thanking my co-authors, Jeanette Kunis, Christine Gilmore, who is a life coach, and Hannah Cooper, who is an MPH from UNC and also a life coach and has been actually coaching at the APHA Career Mart for the last couple of days. So I think the concepts of systems coaching and how they can be effective both individually and through systems coaching with public health organizations at all spectrums of the leadership scale. So I know that Jay referred to leaders and dealing with your staff, and I know that the folks here know that there are leaders at all levels of an organization, that it's not just positional. And so I think systems coaching really speaks to mining that kind of knowledge. What I want to do in the next 20 minutes is talk to you about work that was done when I was at the Michigan Public Health Training Center and how we used systems coaching to start to get at what the leaders really that served on the curriculum and program advisory committee of the training center felt was important for the workforce in Michigan. And we probably went through or started in our downturn a little bit before everybody else in this room. So we've been dealing with those issues for a long time. I want to make full disclosure, I have no financial interests in anything I'm talking about. And I also want to say that I'm not going to give a coaching session here, but I want to talk about a framework for working within your organization. I'm going to give highlights of the kinds of coaching that we did with this leadership team, and then subsequently in a talent management workshop. And I also want you to think about, with the next slide, what you'd be willing to share in the group, because I think it would just help engage you in a different way and get you thinking then about how these tools might be applicable to you. So I want you to think about your organization or your program that you're a part of. And professionally, if you will, and to think about in the coming year, what is your greatest hope for your organization? What is that high dream about what you believe your organization can achieve? And I also want you to spend a minute or 30 seconds or whatever thinking about that low dream. Like, what's your greatest fear about what's going to happen in your organization in 2010. So is there anybody who wants to volunteer to share that with the group? We have all these public health leaders here, and nobody wants to interact. Okay, so I can speak to my program. I run a distance learning program, and obviously, from my perspective and my job security, I want to know that I'm going to have enough people enroll in my program even in this economic climate. But I also want to feel like the people who earn the certificate from my organization are able to achieve something really special in their careers, because it's not a degree program. Some people are trying to reinvent themselves, people are trying to do different things. And the low dream, obviously, is nobody enrolls or the faculty is totally turned off to distance learning. So does that inspire anyone else to share? Okay, we have a group of non-participatory people. You need some CBPR, I guess. Yes?
I was just gonna share.
Great.
I work for a university, and I think my greatest fear is in sort of two extremes. The one extreme would be that the students I have that are graduating in the next year would not find jobs, because it is a hard climate in which to find that. Related, but sort of at the other extreme, is that with a lot of people returning to school, I have the fear that we will take in too many students and not have the resources to
Great. Yes.
I'm with the Cincinnati Health Department and environmental health reports. I mean, under the hydrants, we've been going out very aggressively in the last year or so, submitting grants and trying to build up our program and things like with the environmental tracking network and other sorts of things, which we haven't gotten yet, but which we're hoping for. The fear is that we've also been, Cincinnati has had a deficit, and is looking at a larger deficit for 2010, and environmental health, my program has also already taken a 20% cut in terms of staff, laid off staff, and so the fear is that we get these grants, we don't have anybody to do the work.
Okay, that's great. So if all of you in the room, in addition to these two brave people, could look at that continuum and place yourself on it, are you closer, and maybe the two of you would be willing to answer, are you closer to that high dream, even the fear you talked about having too many students, but that is in some ways a success for your program. Are you closer to that high dream, or are you on the other end of the spectrum and closer to your low dream? And to start to ask yourselves the questions of what would it take, what would have to change for you or for your organization to move you closer to that high dream, to move you closer to your greatest hope or your success? And that's the kind of information that systems coaching is trying to get at in terms of the organizational mind. You as an individual are putting yourself on the spectrum in one place. And when you start to hear the voices of the system, the other people in your organization that have their own expectations and fears for the future in your organization, you start to be able to come to some understanding of where the individuals in your organization are. And when you start answering the questions, what do you need to do to change, you start to get at some important information. And there are tools that system coaching uses to do that. But before I get to the tools, I just want to talk briefly. So the Michigan Public Health Training Center is one of 14 HRSA-funded centers in schools of public health throughout the country, probably incorporating the majority of schools of public health in the country and programs in public health. And Michigan, and perhaps other of the training centers, really are very intersectorally based in terms of the public health system, and see each of the eggs, which is a familiar ION diagram to you guys, I'm hoping, as important parts of the public health system. And so the group that I was talking about, the curriculum committee and the program advisory committee of the training center, represented this whole system to the best of our degree. I would say the media was not well represented there, but certainly non-traditional partners in public health outside of governmental public health, and obviously we as academia. And we gathered together to really try to understand what the needs of the public health system in Michigan were with respect to talent management and succession planning. Because as I noted, we are continuing in our extraordinary downturn, but perhaps a little bit started, the wave started much earlier than in the rest of the country. And in working with this leadership team, one of the things that came out of, and I think you hear this really in public health organizations and particularly in governmental health and nonprofits, is that the HR piece of things, the how you select your employees, how you keep them in low-paid jobs with not a really clear career ladder of where you're going and how you're getting there, and all of those other kinds of things, were really important. And even the managing of the talent that was left, you know, because we've had a remarkable exodus in our state health department as well as the leadership group in local public health. So really, how you start working with the people who are left, and they and so the retreat group talked about the necessity of having a coaching and mentoring workshop. And so the skills I'm going to talk about that were discussed in this coaching in the retreat that led to this coaching and mentoring workshop, the way you sort of set up the coaching is very similar. I hope that wasn't too confusing, but it's certainly defining and practicing the skills, creating a personal learning plan, and developing accountability. So if we talk about the beginning, the initial piece of any kind of coaching relationship, it's really creating a way of communicating with the person you're coaching or the group that you're coaching. And so the importance of trust and making explicit how you're going to, on what basis you're going to communicate, the designing the alliances is the term that the life coaches use. And it's really kind of an important first step in creating trust. And also, and I know this will be talked about late in a later presentation today on the transformational leadership of empowering the participants, so that no matter whether you've got positional authority or not, all voices carry an equal weight. And establishing that as sort of the ground rules up front, I think, is really important. The other piece of figuring out how to get to what, you know, what's at the bottom of thing. I think many of you are familiar with the five whys, looking at sort of a root cause of issues and problems in an organization that's really attached to the continuous quality improvement stuff that we've been doing in local public health to some degree, but certainly in manufacturing and in other organizations. Is powerful questions. And really trying to ask people what they want, what their expectations are, what they need, and really give them the opportunity to share that with each other in helping identify for them what is the problem. I've got 5 minutes, so I'm going to move a little bit through this. The other important skill that we worked with the public health leaders on in this coaching and mentoring workshop is the importance of being able to acknowledge another individual, to make them feel seen and heard. We did talk about the levels of listening and the importance of listening attentively and reflecting back to your employees or to your team, whether it's within your organization or partners outside, in order to really help people be able to build team spirit, build consensus for action. And then the other piece, and I'll challenge you all here, that's really, again, another essential, is to develop some action plan that involves accountability. To create a change in your organization, to move from your low dream to your high dream or further along that continuum, what's the accountability that you need? Who are you going to connect with? What, under what available resources? What additional information do you have to gather? Who else do you have to talk to in order to create these action plans? And we went through these as well with the group that we were working with in this coaching mentoring workshop about the coaching skills, identifying the skill they wanted to improve and how they were going to do that, and again, accountability. By next week, by next month, setting goals of where they were going to move forward. These are some of the lessons learned by the leaders who participated in the coaching workshop. And I wanted to also mention, which I didn't in the beginning, that both Christine Gilmore and Hannah Cooper have been involved with local health organizations in Michigan in, before the extreme draconian cuts, and there was money available to have them involved in helping leadership teams build and rebuild using these variety of skills, because sometimes it's really helpful to have somebody who's a neutral party from the outside really help mine the voices of the system. The next steps, and if you guys haven't been to the Philadelphia Art Museum, I really encourage you. I haven't been there yet this trip, but it's a great place. I really want to emphasize that coaching, mentoring is really all about the power of relationships, and that system change is individuals changing in concert. And so it's really important, I think, to understand that we are really starting with individuals. We're trying to hear the voices of individuals. We're trying to gather consensus. Gather information, defining the problem, just getting to that first step can be really challenging as well. But again, you might even look at this list of how to improve relationships as the basis for continuous quality improvement, which I think it all sort of fits together and ties together in that regard. I do want to acknowledge the Center for Right Relationship and the Coaches Training Institute that certify both Christine and Hannah in coaching, the Office of Public Health Practice, which was the place in which this work was done, and the Health Resources and Services Administration, which funded this work. And so thank you all very much, appreciate it. And thank the two participants.